Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. I'm your host, Kevin S. Fox, coming to you from near the baobab tree in Musasani Beach in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. In tonight's episode, this is our 40th episode, we explore the safari experience as a way of shaping and framing not only Tanzania, East Africa, but all of Africa, perhaps, depending on which scale you use to think about the continent in this region. We have a little fun and get into reportage from Serengeti National Park and reporting on animal sightings and the big game drives that one typically would experience on a 3 or 4 day a safari in Serengeti National Park or any of the other national parks here in Tanzania or Kenya. So stay tuned tonight. We call this episode Safari Njema, a little practicing of our Swahili. Safari is actually a Swahili word for travel or trip or journey. Njema is sort of a good or have a safe trip or safe travels, good travels. Bon voyage in French or buen viaje in Spanish. Stay tuned tonight. We look at the safari from on site in Serengeti. So we're at the gate to Serengeti National Park, the Dabanka Gate.
Yeah, this is Dabanka Gate.
Yeah, and I'm with Nicholas Elias, our guide for our 48-hour, 3-day, 2-night safari into the center of Serengeti National Park. And we want to start with a little Swahili lesson to help us be able to identify animals, not only with their English names, but also with their Swahili names. Okay. So if I say that elephant, you would say?
I say tembo.
Uh-huh.
That is tembo.
Lion?
Simba.
Wildebeest?
Nyumbu.
Cheetah?
Duma.
Giraffe?
Giraffe is twiga.
Twiga. Zebra?
Pundamria.
Leopard.
Chui.
Did we say cheetah yet? Cheetah?
Duma.
Oh, we did say, okay.
Yeah.
Gazelle?
Gazelle is swara. Tommy.
Impala?
Swara pa.
Rhinoceros, even though we probably won't see one.
Yeah. Kifaru.
Hippopotamus?
Kiboko.
The warthog?
Warthog is ngiri.
Ngiri. The jackal?
Mbwea.
Right. We're laughing because Mbwea is the same as, or almost the same as Fox, my last name. Let me think, what else? Crocodile?
Crocodile is mamba in Swahili.
Of course, there's a whole range of different kinds of birds. The main bird maybe we will see a lot is the stork.
Yeah, there is a stork. It's marabu stork. In Swahili, it's ndege nuru.
Okay. Monkeys?
Monkey, okay, we have nyani.
Uh-huh.
And the tumbiri.
So there's different kinds of monkeys. Yeah. How about the baboon?
Baboon is also different. Baboon is nyani, and the monkey is ngiri.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Oh, the hyena. We didn't talk about the hyena.
Yeah, hyena. Hyena is a fish.
Okay.
Animals are eating all scavenger left over from lion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, can you think of any that we haven't said?
Sorry?
Can you think of any other ones that we haven't? Obviously, there's a lot more animals, yeah, but these are the big ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there is a topi,
uh-huh,
yeah, Kongoni,
uh-huh,
Yat Bisti. Is Kongoni also, there is a, yeah, there are so many, Manguzi, Izikicheche, yeah, and also there are ostrichi. Ostrich is Mbuni. Yeah, there is a, also birds eat leftover vulture.
All right.
Yeah, there is a vulture in Swahili. In Swahili, I forget the noise. So many.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Swahili, you know, we have so many birds, but in Swahili, it's very difficult to learn because they are teaching us like. In English language.
Right, so the taxonomy of the species is mostly in English,
But sometimes it's in Ndege. Yeah, that's the common.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the common language is in Ndege.
All right.
But we have a different, in Serengeti we have 400 species different.
So there's 400 species.
Yeah,
so the ones we just talked about are the ones most sought out, people want to see.
Yeah.
And we're going to go and see right now. How do you say let's go in Swahili? Is it twende?
Twende.
Yeah.
Twende sasa. Let's go is twende sasa.
Twende sasa. Serengeti.
Let's go now to Serengeti. Twende sasa Serengeti.
All right. Yeah. Looking forward to it, Nicholas. Thank you.
Thank you. Asante sana.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. Geographical Imaginations. On safari in Serengeti, standing about 100 meters from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 African elephants, most with tusks. They're eating the grasses. I'm surrounded by the Serengeti plains, the acacia trees, the occasional baobab. I've actually stepped out of the truck. And I'm on the ground, watching them move ever so gracefully. This is Geographical Imaginations, Unseen, exploring what it means to be on safari, breaking through the representation of Africa, sometimes limited to the tourist gaze, the things we need to see. That said, pretty impressive to see the elephants in their own environment. It's been somewhat surreal to see the different animals here, elephants, hippopotamus, lions, hyenas, dik-diks, baboons, monkeys, wildebeests, water buffaloes, giraffes. Of course, the elephants here, gazelles, impalas, warthogs. All of these animals have entered into my thinking about Africa through documentaries, National Geographic. And to sit and stand actually right here, just meters from the elephants, I guess I should probably speak in my hushed voice like they do in the documentary to not disturb the animals in their own habitat. So, Geographical Imaginations in Serengeti. We've spotted a leopard up in the lower branch of a tree amidst the plains. A whole pasture full of zebras. And the leopard's sitting there,
laying across the lower branch, seemingly uninterested in the meat that is down in the field. Here with Miss Ibanez, looking through binoculars, what are your impressions?
Amazing. I can see two legs down.
So you hanging, see two legs?
Yeah, hanging down.
And the tail hanging down as well?
As well, yes, very long.
Is the tail longer than the legs hanging?
Yeah, it is longer.
It is longer?
Yeah.
So we have confirmed the tail is longer than the legs. Now have the binoculars. Oh yes, indeed, the tail is longer than the legs. Ooh, there are wildebeests as well in the distance. You can see the spots of this leopard, this fine creature.
And at this moment, they are passing zebras.
Zebras, wildebeests, a meal for any leopard. This one decides to rest on the branch. Do you think the leopard will stay there the whole afternoon until later?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No. That is nocturnal.
It's
nocturnal.
Oh, so it sleeps so during the day. Yeah.
Yeah, but evening you have to go down to find some food because night they can expose it more than daytime.
They have good
yeah,
night vision.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Night vision, that's nocturnal.
Oh, so they work at night and then just rest during the day. So it's not interested at all in the wildebeest or zebras. No. What does it eat? What's its favorite?
For me.
The leopard. What does it eat? Yeah.
Gazelle.
The gazelles, yeah.
Gazelle and lady basket.
Yeah.
Impala. And sometimes wasogi.
So the smaller animals,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it works alone, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's alone. This is
the territory. Oh, so each has its own territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's a male, that one?
Yeah, that's a male.
Yeah, because of its size?
Its size, yeah, it's fat.
Yeah, it is pretty fat. Yeah, it's not skinny at all, is it?
Yeah, it's a male.
Yeah.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode.
So, as is custom here in Serengeti, the drivers and guides speak to each other. They used to speak through radio, now through cellular phones. And we can see in the distance a cluster of safari vehicles. And the word is, there's a hippo there for us to see. So we are on our way to see that hippo. Stay tuned. Safari vehicles, two private SUVs. animals that we've seen in the last 24 hours here at Serengeti. We have seen the hippo, but only in one place. Maybe this is our second place here. The hippopotamus. The large, beastly creature living in the waters here in Serengeti. Now we get closer. We are at the water now, waiting for one of the safari vehicles. Two of them, three of them, four of them to cross the bridge. Now we get closer, our turn to cross the bridge. The anticipation here is so thick. And we see the hippopotami burrowing in the muds of this water hole. Not a lot of movement. We see the sort of the dome of their backs popping out of the water, the occasional flapping around. Some spitting birds walking across their backs. This is why we come to Serengeti. And just meters away, as we pull the car out, the vehicle, we see a male lion hiding in the grasses. Okay. What is it?
Another lion.
Another lion.
Oh, there is one there. Oh yeah, underneath the bush, yeah. Right. Debajo del arbusto. Yeah, the male lions, so elusive here in Serengeti. Oh, there it is. You can see it's out there in the field now. You see it there, yeah? The male lion, so difficult to see. Ah, checking out the zebra, considering his next meal. the flowing hair in the wind. Sitting there regally in the middle of the field. Now we're coming around to the other side of this large open field, what's spotted with acacia and baobab trees, the occasional palm. With the herd of zebra and wildebeest, and a small herd of safari trucks, all to watch the encounter of this one male lion here at lunchtime, December 22nd, 2017. The male lion, it appears, is sitting down at the base of one of those trees, a little uninterested, perhaps, in the zebras who now are mostly facing that male lion and watching his movements. It's the movement here of the animals, the cyclical nature, migrations throughout the year, but also throughout the day, the daily dance between predator and prey. As we see this male lion sitting in the midday, the small shade of midday, under the tree. Like the zebras, some of the safari goers have also decided to move on. Ah, the great lion lays down on his side. Uninterested in the meal. The smaller zebras or wildebeest that are out there that he could catch. Now, taking his afternoon nap. This is Geographical Imaginations coming to you from Serengeti. in northwestern Tanzania. Expanding our imagination of the natural world. Oh, his left ear just moved. As we too will depart and head on to continue to search for Serengeti's animals.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Geographical Imaginations is a growing multimedia public geography initiative designed to bring together academic and everyday geographical or spatial thinking. We believe everybody is a geographer and a co-maker of spaces. As an inquiry-based project, we ask questions and explore themes through dialogues with different texts and voices. Inevitably, our explorations return to simple yet complex questions. How does blank inform the way I picture the world in my head? And how does that picture in turn limit or expand my place in the world? The main focus of the project is this hour-long radio essay program broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria. In each episode, we make brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. We reflect upon our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. While many of the episodes deal with local and regional topics, themes are somewhat universal, and our investigations could inform the geographical imaginations of those living anywhere in the world. Now let's get back to our episode.
The late afternoon game drive brings us to three cheetahs sitting, resting on an anthill. Words cannot describe what we are seeing here. One is itching his face. Stepping all over one of the other ones. And now it stands. Looking out to the south. Climbing on top of this mound. And then sitting to what seems to be the position of urination. Safari trucks coming. So we have a mother and two cubs. What a great find here in Serengeti. Geographical imaginations. Here from Serengeti, we see a hippopotamus. Now outside of the water, something you don't see all of the time. Still wet from coming out of the water, is this hippopotamus is shining. Grazing the grass like a cow. Cheeks the size of basketballs. This amphibious mammal is spectacular. With short legs, in short steps, it glides across this otherwise oasis in the middle of the Serengeti Plain. Oh, geographical imaginations, here in Serengeti, with a close-up of the giraffe. Ooh, a very, very, very close encounter with the giraffe, with a short little gallop. I think this, with birds eating off of its skin, I believe the giraffe, or the twiga, as is said in Swahili, I believe the giraffe is my favorite here in Serengeti, the tallest of the land mammals, the most unique, I think, of the animals here. I'm about 2 meters from one right now. It's just walking around the safari truck. I think they do want to get back together again. We're in the middle of two as they're feeding. Oh, what a beautiful animal. Maybe it's because with the other cats, we know they're domesticated cousins. The giraffe has no domesticated cousin, so it's so unique with its long neck. There's word amongst the drivers. We're off to go see the next. You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. Geographical Imaginations in Serengeti. We just passed two seemingly normal ducks and wonder how many people pay any attention to those normal ducks. If we were in Retiro in Madrid or any of the grand parks of Western Europe, we would all joyously look at those ducks.
Or New York.
Or New York.
For instance.
Yet here, the ducks go unnoticed. Geographical Imaginations in Serengeti, witnessing the birth and the first steps of a hirtebeest. We drove by, first noticed the mother cleaning the placenta off this young little creature laying down still on the ground. And then we backed up, realizing the small miracle we're witnessing here at Serengeti. Watching the young hirtebeest trying its first steps. After spending a good part of the day tracking down the kill, looking at the predators, moment of life. Woohoo! You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. Geographical Imaginations from Serengeti National Park. Day 3 of the safari. We leave camp, where the past two nights we've enjoyed hyena visits coming through the campsite and our rustic tent. We've also enjoyed excellent meals prepared to us from by a local from Wanza, where we started this journey. We've just left camp, and we are on our third day of game drives, crossing now the central plains of Serengeti. Initially, immediately, right from the camp area, we ran into a small herd of zebra, and then a small herd of elephants, about 20 or 25, both male and female adults, and young calves. While the initial excitement of seeing the elephant for the first time, or the zebra for the first time, has faded somewhat, the feeling of what maybe could be referred to as the surreal feeling of being inside the documentary that you've always seen, the representation of a place that you've always been in, and then actually being in that, that feeling still exists. And the magic of Serengeti continues to inspire these wide open landscapes, the variety of species which we still are encountering others and more Serengeti truly is a special place. Geographical Imaginations, Serengeti National Park, Western Corridor. On our drive out, passing giraffes, water buffalo, a couple of jackals, warthogs, along straightaway, we see a cheetah cross the road. We're now watching the cheetah enter into the grasses. Wagging its tail to knock off the flies. Looking around, studying the landscape. These are the moments you hope for coming to Serengeti. The cheetah, perhaps the hardest of the animals to spot and find. And in our 3 days, 48 hours, we've seen now five. The birds don't stop chirping. She is looking to the back east, ooh, and then turns again. From our vantage point, there are no big game animals that it might feed on. The cheetah continues to walk. We're still only less than 100 meters from it right now. we go down track a little bit here, heading further west to our destination. The cheetah looks back east and north. It's downwind of something, and then he stops again and sits down and then lays down into the tall grasses, and we know where it is, but we can no longer really see. Right. You could look at it, you could drive by and think there's nothing here. Oh, and it stood back up again, probably just rolling around the grass to get some flies off of it. But the cheetah heads back east on its own trajectory, and we continue our safari through the western corridor of Serengeti.
Well, I think there's so much to say about the safari experience, seeing the animals, the big five, as so many people talk about, the bigger, the more highly sought out animals for viewing. Of course, we saw four of the five. Of course, the African elephant, the water buffalo, the lion, the leopard. What we didn't see is the rhinoceros, which is only in Ngorongoro crater, the national park there, which is adjacent to the Serengeti, but does not exist in Serengeti because of poaching. You leave there with a sense of maybe accomplishing a bucket list type item. So it goes back to something that I read from Wallace Stegner that talked about the concept of national parks as the best idea we ever had. And he's talking about in the American context, absolutely American, absolutely democratic. They reflect us at our best. And this came out of, I think I came across this around the same time as being in the American, U.S. American embassy in Madrid in Spain. I'd lost my passport, needed to go there and get it replaced. And on the walls of what is probably one of the more complicated embassies and consulates in the world, in terms of maybe not for the American citizen, but for other citizens in terms of trying to get visas. And the U.S. position in international affairs, certainly in most of the 20th century and now in the 21st century, at this consulate / embassy, on all the walls were photographs, big photographs, big pictures of United States national parks. And I always thought, well, wait a second, this is just one part of what the United States represents. And I thought that was a little problematic. So most of the people in there looking at the pictures, myself excluded, I suppose, from that, and any other Americans there for American services. But people trying to get visas and being denied and sitting there waiting in line, maybe being back there the second and third time, they're looking at the beauty of the national parks, but yet it misses out on perhaps a geopolitical reality of that country. And so the same with Tanzania. Tanzania is not in the same geopolitical position of the United States. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is by thinking, especially visitors, tourists, safari goers going to Tanzania, if we think of Tanzania as just this national park, we forget the rest of that country, and we forget the reality of development in Tanzania, educational development, economic development, social development. And we forget our connections to that. And so while the safari is an incredible experience, I also am concerned that by going to Tanzania and only knowing the safari, or only climbing Kilimanjaro, which is another famous destination, are we at all even engaging with the reality of that country and how the reality of that country is connected to the reality of our own? I'll leave you there on some thoughts as I continue to think about Africa, Tanzania, and Africa, and expand my own geographical imagination in the process. Thanks for listening. See you next month. Bye.